This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 113, The Greatest Gift You. You can find more information at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And I want to thank our sponsor, mediaangels.com. You can find all kinds of books and curriculum and classes at mediaangels.com. And I welcome you to take a look and browse around. And sign up for the e-zine for the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You will receive freebies every single time you open an email from our network. And the biggest thank you can do, because these episodes come to you for free through our wonderful sponsors, is to visit our sponsors' pages as well as to subscribe to our podcast, because subscriptions really help us get found, especially on places like iTunes. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed the shows, because we have lots more coming for you, and especially this one is kind of near and dear to my heart. And, you know, every time I come up with a theme for the month or things that I think I want to talk about, the Lord's amazing and He changes things around. And so I am going to share with you today's episode with a bit of a, I guess a disclaimer, if you will. And that is that I never consider myself the greatest asset. And, you know, the Lord has had to change my thinking. In fact, just to give you a little bit of background about myself, if maybe this is the first show you've ever tuned into, I'm not going to make any assumptions that you kind of know my heart or you've listened to shows regularly. But one of the things that is a pet peeve of mine is this whole concept of you deserve it, or, you know, you should be kind to yourself, or I don't know, just a bunch of, you know, it's all about me kind of things. That is one of my pet peeves and something I really dislike. So the fact that I am recording a show that says something along the lines of the greatest gift, and it is a holiday season right now, it's Christmas season, and, you know, we know as Christians that the greatest gift is Jesus Christ by His birth, His life, and His death and resurrection. So where do we come in? And that is something that the Lord had to change my mind about. And the fact is that we are told in scriptures that we are created in the image of God. And so as Christians, we are believers and we are followers of Christ. And so, you know, while we tend to fall into sin, really and truly in Genesis, it says that God made us and He made all things and it was good. And so if we look at that concept of what God created is not junk, you know, whether or not we decide to do, you know, the right thing or accept the Lord or follow along in the path of God, you know, is another story. But God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, created us to be, you know, images of Himself and to exemplify Christ to others. And so I want to give you a list of 10 questions and things to think about as we're talking today. And this is a little bit different podcast, because I'm not going to go through and answer these questions, because only you can do this. And so if you have a journal, this might be something that you could journal through, you know, in the next few days. But I would really encourage you to do this. So number one on the list, and again, in going through these questions, this will help you see where your frame of mind is and where you need to, you know, perhaps make some tweaks or, you know, work on some areas in your life that are really the cause of a lot of unhappiness. And I just recently saw something that a friend put out that she wanted to get together with a group of people online and just kind of, you know, be uplifting to each other because she was feeling a lot of guilt in her parenting. And what happens, especially during the Christmas holidays, is that we get so busy that we get short-tempered with our spouse, with our kids, you know, with the people who are the most important to us in our lives. And so then we feel a lot of guilt. So in going through these questions, this really helped me a lot, and I hope it will help you. And again, you can find all these questions on the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, podcast 113, The Greatest Gift, You. So number one, what is your biggest asset? What is something that is your gifting, something that is, you know, something that you do extremely well? And don't say there isn't anything you do well. I'm not talking about, you know, singing or, you know, unless that is a gift of yours. But you know what I mean? Like, look at that. And if you're not sure, go to prayer and ask the Lord. And again, if you're not getting anything from the Lord, then ask your kids or ask your spouse or ask somebody close to you about that. Number two, what is your love language? I have a podcast, and I will put the link in that I did a while back about love languages. And that is important to know because that can really help you to pinpoint areas where maybe you and a spouse or you and your kids are just not connecting. And it could be because the way you're showing them your love is not how they want to. You know, that's not as important to them. Like, for example, I like to bake. So it would be easier for me to bake you cookies than it would be to sit down and just hang out and spend time with you. So you have to look at that. And I had to realize that was a big problem in my life with my relationship with my husband, because he just wanted me to slow down and sit down with him and put my feet up. And I thought it was a colossal waste of time. And I had to realize that in order to, you know, give him what he wanted, I needed to, you know, kind of die to self in what I wanted to do. And it really helped us tremendously. So knowing what your love language is important. Number three, what do your kids ask of you? Or if your kids are grown up, what do the people closest to you ask? So a lot of times we have a lot of pressures put on us by people who are demanding things. And when I say demanding, I don't mean it in the negative sense. I just mean like a demand of your time would be making meals or getting clothes out, you know, or doing laundry or whatever those things are. But I want you to look at that and look at it as, you know, what is it that your kids, especially here, are asking of you? And look at that and analyze that. And then I'll go through in just a minute and give you some examples there. What does your spouse ask of you? If you do not have a spouse, then replace the word spouse with the word Lord. What does the Lord ask of you? Number five, what does your extended family or your friends or your neighbors ask of you? Again, something to look at. Number five, I'm sorry, let me go back. Number five is, what does your extended family ask of you? And number six is, what do your friends and neighbors or church groups or homeschool groups ask of you? Number seven, who relies on you the most? Number eight, who has a hard time if you're away? So if you're going to the grocery store, or if you're even going next door to a neighbor's house or deciding to go take a walk, who's going to miss you the most? Number nine, what do you do for fun? And number 10, what is your rock? Who do you rely on? Now, let's go through these questions really quickly, and I just want to give you some things to think about and maybe areas to work on. So number one, what is your biggest asset? Well, if you don't have anything there or you really struggled with that, then that is something to do over the next few weeks, few months, whatever that is, and make sure that you can figure out what that is. We all have different gifts and different callings in life. And many times that is something that needs to be developed. I know that my kids struggle with that. And a lot of times it's because they're younger, they're more immature, and they haven't quite gotten to that point where they even consider that they are an asset. So that's important. Number two, the love language. I covered that earlier. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. I get excited about something. Number three, what do your kids ask of you? So really, number three, number four, number five are all similar. So I'm just going to, kind of give you an overview here. Whatever that is that either your kids are asking of you, your spouse or the Lord or extended family, look at that. Other than what the Lord is asking of you, which really could be a number 11 if you do have a spouse, you could add, you know, what is the Lord asking of you? But other than that one, if it's something that they can do on their own or get them to that point, that's what you need to work toward. For example, I always insisted on doing the laundry because no one could do laundry as well as I could. And that was my thing. I liked clean laundry. I didn't like folding it or putting away, but I actually liked getting the stains out and doing the laundry. Well, it became overwhelming where some days I was doing 7 and 8 loads of laundry. We were on a septic tank. Not good. So I had to let that go. And I had to just say, okay, well, you know what? Those white t-shirts are getting dingy because my kids want to throw in one load of laundry. I finally got them to take their jeans out and not wash jeans with all their other clothes. But, you know, I had to let that go. And I had to say, okay, you know, there are certain things that I just can't do everything, and I had to let go. So what is it? What is it that your kids ask of you? You know, whether it is them verbally asking or something that they can do by way of chore, and, you know, get that off your list. And then who relies on you the most? Who is that one person or, you know, that one thing, whether it is, you know, an activity at church or the person that, you know, really relies on you the most? Is that something that you need to continue doing or you can get out from under? And then, you know, who has the hardest time if you're away? I had one child in particular that never liked it if I was going out, even to the grocery store. And I just noticed that one of my grandchildren is like that. All the little kids were over and I was taking the girls out. And the 5-year-old tells me that I cannot take the girls out, that they're not allowed to go. I looked at him like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm grandma, you know, you're the little one. And why are you saying that? And I realized it was that he didn't want them to be away, that he really liked it that they were there. So we made sure that he was okay with what he was going to be doing and that we let him know when we would be back. And said if we would be late, we would call. And so he was happy with that. So, you know, just look at that. Look at, you know, who is the needy person that maybe needs extra prayer or needs some sort of reassurance to get out of that. And then also, number 9, what do you do for fun? That was one I had really struggled with. In the summer, I quote unquote, gave myself permission to just take a break and be able to read some fun books. Well, that kind of backfired because anything I read, even if it was, you know, really, really highly recommended, and I think at one point I was reading 3 different books, none of them was that enjoyable to me. To, again, you know, I'm such a accomplishment type of person. So to me, it was such a waste of time that, you know, I had to put that aside and you know, look at something else that I could do for pleasure. So now what I really enjoy doing, and it doesn't take a ton of time, and it's something that goes along with my love language, which is cooking and baking, is I get Cooks Illustrated. And no, they're not a sponsor of mine, but I absolutely love that book because, or that magazine, because it tells you the science of why certain recipes work, and I really, really enjoy that. And I enjoy a lot of the recipes in that magazine. So I can do that for fun. It's enjoyable to me, and it's something that is that does help me relax. And what is your rock? Who do you rely on? Again, these are all things for you to look at. And the reason I wanted you to do this quick little quiz is because in order for you to realize how special you are and what the Lord has done in your life, it's important to see what those negativities are in your life and how you can deal with them. A lot of times, you know, we hear that, you know, you're overwhelmed, you're busy, you know, do X, Y, and Z, and you're going to feel all better. But usually the X, Y, and Z, you know, doesn't solve the problem. It's like, you know, I had migraines, and so on occasion, thank God, I don't get them very often, so thank you, Lord, for that. But when I do get them, I'm out. I'm in bed, I'm sick, and I can't function. So I finally started studying and saying, okay, what is the root cause of migraine? Okay, so stress, overload, blah, blah, blah. And I realized that one of the things I wasn't doing enough was drinking water. So what I did was I circumvented, in my case, my migraines for the most part by just being super hydrated. So what is the root cause of why you don't think you're the greatest gift? What is weighing on you? What are those things, those people that just need you? And just by realizing that you are needed, and your happiness or your lack thereof is really going to set the stage for your family and your children. And when we come back, I'm going to share with you five things that will help you to realize that you are the greatest gift. We'll be right back. Are you looking for a Bible study for the entire family? Well, I created one after searching for months for a study that would encourage my family to have group discussions, teach life truth, as well as point to God as creator. So since I couldn't find one, I created one, Homeschooling with Proverbs. I didn't want to zoom through the book of Proverbs in 1 month, as some suggest. Instead, I wanted to savor and meditate on the words and have the entire family on the same page. If you want a Bible study written for the entire family with specific audios and activities from pre-K to adult, look no further. This set can be used studying one lesson per month or completed in 9 months or sooner. The option is yours. In this set, you will find audios, printables, and when completed, you and your children will have a beautiful keepsake notebook. Visit homeschoolingwithproverbs.com for more information and begin studying the book of Proverbs. Allow God's word to speak to you. Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz. This is episode 113, The Greatest Gift is You. And I want to thank you for sharing your time with me, because I know that time is very important. If you would subscribe to this podcast, that would be wonderful, as well as visiting our sponsors page at mediaangels.com. Well, today we've been talking about the greatest gifts, and I had you go through a really quick quiz, 1 through 10, in order to look and to maybe hone in on some things that may be weighing you down, or maybe looking at some things that you didn't realize that you did well. For example, you know, what is your biggest asset? And in order to be that wonderful vessel that God wants you to be, God wants you to be this amazing mom or this amazing caregiver or this amazing wife. And He wants you to be all of these things, but how can you be these things? And especially since we live in a fallible world, and it's not like you're on an island and you can just practice being these things on your own. No, we have to deal with the people in our lives, with the children that God has blessed us with our spouse, you know, and the people around us. And so one of the things I want to go through with you now is, you know, just some points that you can look at and find ways to fill yourself back up. And as I shared at the beginning of the podcast, you know, spending me time and, you know, all of this stuff always irked me. I mean, it was a pet peeve of mine. And, you know, a lot of it came from the women's liberation movement, quote unquote. And that was, you know, that we needed to spend time on ourselves and you know, go on vacations by ourselves and just things like that. And I think it the point of it was that, you know, sometimes mom is last on the list and we're overwhelmed and everybody depends on us and nobody seems to care. And that tends to make moms, you know, unhappy and depressed. And so, you know, we need to be able to look at those things, find out what it is that is the problem, and then go through and maybe eliminate some of those things that are weighing on us, as well as do some of these next things that I'm going to share with you in order to just infill yourselves with, just joy. We'll get into that in a minute. So the first is that we need to fill ourselves up from time to time. And what do I mean by that? That means get into the Word of God. If you are not studying the Scriptures, even if it means pulling out the Bible and just opening it up randomly, if that's where you are in your life and you can't do a whole Scripture study, do that. I have a wonderful Scripture study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. And that is available for your entire family to study together. Because I know a lot of times moms will say, well, I just don't have time to do my own study. But you can if you're studying alongside your children. And you can do that study from whenever you want. And in fact, I did it with my younger children years ago when I first wrote that set. And I'm doing it again with them over this Christmas break that we're taking. And so, you know, it won't go as in-depth as when we did it during the whole school year because we did a 9-month study, but it will be a refresher course, if you will. And there's so much you can learn in the book of Proverbs. Maybe it's just 5 minutes of quiet time where you're just letting your mind rest. Sometimes I would do that before I went to sleep because, you know, some people can't sleep and it's because your mind is racing and you're thinking about all those other things you need to do. And just close your eyes and just meditate. And even if you can just meditate on the Lord's name, you know, just on the word Jesus. And just let your mind relax and just be with the Lord. You know, take time alone, even if it means it's in the middle of the night. I was waking up at 3 a.m. and I usually don't wake up to go to the bathroom, but I was having to wake up and go. And when I did, I finally realized there was a pattern of a few nights, even if I wasn't drinking a lot before I went to bed. And I finally said, you know, somebody needs my prayer. So I just started praying at that time of night whenever I would wake up for whoever needed my prayers. And as the Lord works, you know, I found out at one point it was my daughter who was getting up with the little one and really, really tired. And then another friend who also was having some struggles. And so you can use that as a time of prayer. And, you know, it's wonderful. Number two, be kind to yourself. So what do I mean by that? Well, we're never going to meet our own expectations. So it doesn't mean that you don't try, but it does mean that you take little steps, you know, maybe moving toward a goal. I have a short story that I've been working on for 2 years. And so my goal was to get it done by December. And I have it done. I had it done, but then I wanted to change the tense in it to the first person. And so I had my daughter read it, my teenager, and she gave it back to me all marked up. And, you know, we had a good laugh over that because she said this is what her papers typically look like. So it was her turn to mark up my paper. And, you know, it's not done. And I'm just giving that to God and saying, you know what, I'm working on it. I'm making progress and I'm going to be happy with that. Which brings us to goal number three or point number three, which is make realistic goals. Many times my goals are so unrealistic and maybe you have days like that. And that's why we tend to not think that we're a gift to anyone. You know, we feel like we're such failures. But, you know, look at what your goals are for the day, and maybe they're not, you know, realistic. So I'm going to share with you something that happened recently. And so my goal was to have the grandkids spend at least one night here over in December. So the girls were here earlier in the month, and so the boys wanted their turn, and they're little. So I had the two little boys over, and one's 5 and one is 7. So they were here, they spent the night, and one of them, they had been at a party the day before at a friend's house, and so one got sick, but thank God he was sick at 9:30 at night. It wasn't like in the middle of the night. And so, which meant the next day there was lots of laundry, and, you know, he was fine after, you know, little kids, they throw up and then they're great. So there was a ton of laundry to do the next day, but I already had all these things on my list. One is our grill fell apart, and here in Florida, if we can't use our charcoal grill, it's almost like we don't know what to make. So I needed to go buy another grill that day. The little kids were over. I wanted to do stuff with them. And so in buying a grill, they give you free assembly, but we didn't want to wait 2 days. So I had the boys over, laundry to do. We went and bought a grill. My two teenagers put it together. Of course, they'd never put a grill together, so it was a great learning experience, but it took them all day. And then I had to have activities for the little boys, but wait, I had other things I'd planned to do that day, and that was to make bread and cinnamon rolls that I like to freeze for Christmas morning. So I made 15 times the recipe of bread and bread dough, and 4 times the recipe of cookie dough for gingerbread and the snowball or wooden cake cookies. Are you kidding me? Why would I continue with what was on my list of things to do with the little ones over? And then we had a party to go to that night at 7 o'clock where I was bringing appetizers. Well, my phone reminded me the day before and the day of, and it turns out that I had it on the wrong day on my calendar. It was actually Tuesday night, not Monday night. So after going to my friend's house and finding that she wasn't home and turning around and coming home, I am married to a saint of a man who did not even get angry. In fact, we were both exhausted and happy to be able to come home and put up our feet. So, you know, it was just one of those things that was an overwhelming day, and it probably should have been done over a series of 3 days, but I am the kind of person that likes to get things done so that I can say, oh, I've got three days of nothing that really is on my list, so in case I just want to chill or take it easy, I can. So you have to look at your day and make it realistic goals. My goals for today were not realistic. I had to revamp them. So you would think that, you know, I would learn from past mistakes, but we're all a work in progress. And so you're not going to be any good to anybody else if you don't get your own act together. And that's what I'm trying to share with you today. Number 4, use positive words, scriptures, and a praise journal. That to me was something that the Lord gave me some years ago when I was really going through a life crisis. We had a financial upheaval with the economy. My husband's in construction and diversified into home inspections, so they're both very closely tied to the real estate market. So I ended up having to do more with my business, with Media Angels, with a Ultimate Homeschool Expo, and work from home while homeschooling. And because of all of that additional work, it turned out that it was really a life crisis for me, in that I really was not happy because, again, I do not like to have something I have to get done every single day. I'd like to have that, you know, if you want to call it dead space on my calendar where I can still be productive, but not have this, you know, a deadline every single day of 5 things that have to get done. So one of the reasons I love podcasting is it can be recorded ahead of time and scheduled to go out, so I can record when it's, you know, easier for me. And so, you know, it was a struggling time, and I was really not happy, and the Lord just gave me, you know, be thankful for today. And so I started a praise journal, and that was the best thing I ever did because I could go and I could just look at that when I was struggling and just be happy and thankful. And we do that every single night after we do our family prayers. We go around the room and we share what we're thankful for. And a lot of times what we're thankful for really are truly miraculous types of things. And number five, happiness is a state of mind. Now, I'm not getting all New Agey on you, okay? You know, New Age is so popular because they talk about states of enlightenment or consciousness and that happiness is a choice. And a lot of New Agers, you know, try to be that happy, peaceful, serene type of person. Well, our strength lies in Christ for our salvation. And, as Christians, we should be joyful people. We should be people that others come up to and say, what do you have? I want that too. And that's what this whole episode is about. It's about finding that joy, finding that peace, finding that love of yourself and for others. Because if we are not happy, it is hard to pour out ourselves for others. And that's why, you know, God gave each one of us to someone else. To that person that really is going to miss you when you leave. You know, somebody once said to me, yeah, that's my dog. Well, it's still somebody who, you know, something that misses you. And so, you know, if it's just that, we have to look at our lives and say, okay, you know, where can I change or what can I do? And we can pray and ask the Lord for that grace to be able to change and to be able to do what we need to do. And, you know, it's always, you know, what does God want us to do? Sometimes we get so busy and we give ourselves, I know I'm talking from experience here, all these different projects to do. And that might not be what the Lord wants of us. You know, I love the whole baking thing at the holiday, during the holidays, during Christmas. And so I said to my kids, what cookies do you really like? And I found out all those cookies that take so much time are not the ones they really like. So that has made my life a lot easier, and I can make some things ahead of time, some dough ahead of time. And, you know, my son was asking me today, so when are we baking, Mom? You know, and he was ready to get started today. So, you know, you want it to be a joyous time. You want you know, your time with your family to be blessed. You want to make those memories that you can go back and look at and say, you know, it was good. It was a fun time. We don't want to be so overwhelmed and so burdened that we can't even think that we are a gift to anyone. So that's your gift, if you will, from me today, is to consider that you are a gift. You are a child of God. You have been blessed with a life and with a family and with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord, I invite you to, you know, pray a salvation prayer. And I'll have a link to a wonderful scripture that really speaks to me about that. So thank you so much for joining me today. I love you guys. Visit VintageHomeschoolMoms.com, podcast 113, The Greatest Gift Is You, for the show notes and more information about our sponsor, MediaAngels.com. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.